embarked on the Jaladuta to reach Boston in the US. What started as a fledgling movement in a very humble way then grew into an explosion, and Shrutakirti Prabhu was one of those key players who was associated with Prabhupada in those early days, which has shaped ISKCON for what it is today. In New Vrindavan, he was introduced to Prabhupada, and there he joined him as his personal servant. Personal servant in the spiritual world is a very high position. In the material world, we may consider it to be insignificant, but it is the highest position one can attain in the spiritual world. So we have one such eminent personality sitting with us here today. It's our good fortune. He has traveled around the world to various countries with Srila Prabhupada. And he was keeping notes on the activities that Prabhupada has performed, on the various pastimes, various encounters he had with different people. And he has also come out with a beautiful book known as What's the Difficulty, which is widely read among the ISKCON devotees. And today we are fortunate that we have such wonderful souls with us who are nourishing us with all those pastimes where we were not witness to it. But he is sharing those golden moments with us through this book. He has been widely preaching everywhere in the world and carrying forward the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is a very, very significant activity. Presently, he is in Hawaii, where he is based over there. And so, I would now like to request Shrutakirti Prabhu to enlighten us with his nectarian words. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Pasakya Chatari Satani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's very exciting to be back here. I think the first time I came here was 2003, I think, 2003. And I don't think I've been here for some years. I was at Juhu a few times for the 40th anniversary. But it's been some years since I've been here, so I'm very happy to be back. This morning I was at Juhu Temple. Some of you know I gave class this morning there, and tomorrow morning I'll be at Mira Road Temple, giving class, and then go to Overdone Eco Village for a few days. So it's a very special time of year. Today is December 1st, and over the years, I've actually been in Delhi Temple. You know, Delhi Temple, they distribute a lot of books during this time of year, this month. And somehow or other, I've been there three or four times over the last 10 years, speaking to the devotees there. When I joined, he told you, I joined 1971. April 1971 is when I moved into a temple. I remember, well, I was in New Vrindavan. But in May of 1972, myself and a few of my godbrothers, we went to Los Angeles. Prabhupada was staying in Los Angeles at that time. This was before I was Prabhupada's servant. I was just a farm boy in New Vrindavan, milking cows, fixing fences. I was a city boy, but when I joined, I wound up in New Vrindavan on the farm. So that's what I was doing. And when we went to Los Angeles, now at that time they had Krishna book. Big. It was that big. You know, big size Krishna book. That thick. Amongst big books, I call Maha Big Book, right? The Krishna book series, they were Maha Big Books. Then we had the big books, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad, they're big books. Then the medium books and the small books. So these Krishna books, they were Maha Big Books. And I had never done any kind of book distribution. Well, no one was doing book distribution. We did BTG magazines at that time. 12 hours a day, you would stand on a street corner and try to get 25 cents for a BTG magazine. And you'd be so happy, you know, if you sold 10, 12 magazines in a day. It was a miracle. But this whole change happened. Prabhupada was translating books. And of course, he wanted us to read them. Not that we just distributed them, but he wanted us to read them as well. He said, otherwise somebody asks you what's inside the books. Say, well, I don't know. I just distribute them. That's my job. Prabhupada wants me to distribute books. No, you're supposed to know what's inside the book. Then you can distribute them very nicely. So somehow or other, this Prabhupada wanted to distribute books. Brihat Murdanga. Back in those days, there were so many things we heard over and over again. Little sayings, Prabhupada's sayings, you know, do the needful, time, place, and circumstance. I must have heard that every day, time, place, and circumstance. We do things according to time, place, and circumstance. So these things, it would be repeated. So Prabhupada's translating every night. Now we have Nectar of Devotion, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Think of what Prabhupada did. When he was in Radha Damodar Temple, during the 60s, the early 60s, before he came here, he's translating. And he translated Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. He said, he told me that when he was doing the first canto, there at Radha Damodar, he said he didn't know if he would ever be able to finish, ever do anything else. So he said, I put everything into the first canto. Everything you need to become Krishna conscious, he said, is there in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, of course, he gave Krishna book, which was the 10th canto. Prabhupada wanted everyone to know Krishna from the beginning. In the West, we didn't know. Here, everyone, I know Krishna. Everyone knows Krishna. But there, no one knew Krishna. And he handed them to us. I was looking for Krishna. I was 19 years old, and I became completely frustrated. It seemed almost overnight where I just didn't know why I was doing anything. Everything seemed like a big waste of time. And I literally started looking for God. I was a Catholic boy, so I believed in God, and I believed he was a person. But he had no face, you know, in the Christian, they don't have a face for God. They don't know what he looks like. But I wanted to know. It was Krishna book. First time I met the devotees, they told me everything immediately. I was convinced. Within 1 minute, I was convinced. And then there was Krishna book. So I was reading Krishna book. So now, it was a year later, we're in Los Angeles, and we're told to distribute Krishna books. We would go door to door at that time, knock on the doors, dressed like this. And we'd have this book, and people would buy it. It was the most amazing thing that I found. It wasn't difficult. Not everyone, but the ones that did, they would open it up, and they would see the pictures inside that book. And they were very, some people would say they were very, simple. They weren't masterpieces, you know. They were very simple, but Prabhupada saw nothing but devotion in those photographs, in that Krishna book. So we'd knock on doors, and usually it was younger people, so you had to open the book and they would see All You Need Is Love by George Harrison. Everyone loved George Harrison. So all you had to do was say, George Harrison paid for this book, and all the hippie people. So you would sell books. So even I was able to sell books at that time, knocking on doors. And Prabhupada, when I became his servant, so that was September 1972. So that we came to India. We were in India for 4 months. And then he went back, traveled back to the West. And that's when book distribution really started to take off. It was 1973. And by that time you had Kurandar, those who know ISKCON history, Kurandar, who was one of the most famous devotees early in the 70s, our first GBC. His brother Keshava, he became one of the, there was a number of, they called the Maharatis. Keshava, Budimanta, Triparari, they were Maharatis. They would go out and do hundreds of books. No one knew. They were just so overwhelming. I think for the most part, you know, there's so many things, right? We have mantras we say and everything. But at that time, anyone was just so overwhelmed with the energy coming from these book distributors. You just could not say no. I didn't even think it mattered what they said to them. They just overpowered everyone they came in contact with. So people either had to just go away immediately, because if you stayed, you were finished. You were going to take a book. This is so. And then this brahmachari, his name was Rameshwar in Los Angeles. He just got into BBT. Before you know, he was BBT, director of the BBT, Rameshwar. He was so, everyone was so enthusiastic. So in the evening, this was in the spring, summer of 73, in the evening he would come to Prabhupada's rooms and he would give me the list. So on the list was the devotee's name, the books they distributed. And I would give it to Prabhupada. So this went on for a few days. And then finally, Prabhupada's like, "Who's bring this person, Rameshwar." He said, "Bring him here." As soon as Prabhupada saw someone was eager to serve in some way, he would grab you and give you more service than you could ever imagine. As soon as you were ready to volunteer, he always waited for the volunteer. That's devotional service. It's voluntary. But as soon as the desire was there, I'm going to give you so much to do. We were just speaking. How much preaching, how important, how we say, Prabhupada used that expression, say, distributing my books is most important. But then he also said, deity worship, most important. Everything's most important. There is no less important in Krishna consciousness. Every little thing you do is most important. This morning, I was just telling him in Juhu, when I was with Prabhupada, one morning outside, little garden area in Juhu, this is 1975. So Prabhupada's going on his walk. Everybody offers obeisances. One boy, was an Indian boy at that time. He was a teenager or something. And he was just standing. And Prabhupada kept walking and he looked at me. He said that is the beginning of his fall down, because he didn't offer obeisances. Huh? So everything is most important. We're either Krishna conscious or we're not. Like we all know when the devotee said, "Prabhupada, sometimes I fall into Maya." And Prabhupada said, "You're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna." So that's it. Every moment is an opportunity. And to give Krishna, that's the only way you can attain Krishna. That's the easiest way. We know we chant, we follow the principles, and Prabhupada says, everyone you meet, just tell them about Krishna. And by doing that, the more you give, the more you get. The other side of it is, you can't give unless you have it. Right? You can't give something you don't have. Huh? So we want to give Krishna. We want to give love of Krishna. That's the purpose of the books, Prabhupada said. You read these books so you understand who Krishna is. Why he's so lovable. That was my first, again, introduction in the garden in Los Angeles. Before I was a servant, I was reading Krishna book. Krishna book has a lot, has appeared in my life many times in different ways. And that was the very first thing I did, service to Prabhupada, was read Krishna book to him. Imagine, he's telling us, read the books. He was reading his books. He never told us to do something he wasn't doing. Anything he asked, he was doing. As he said, everything you're doing, I was doing as a child. He said, I didn't introduce anything different than what I was doing as a child, what I saw my father doing. He said he was a great devotee, wonderful pujari. So that's how he learned. He said that once about cooking. Prabhupada said, my sister, he said, she's expert cook. She learned. My mother is an expert. My sister, she was expert cook. She learned from my mother. He said, I am also expert cook. He said, but I learned by watching. And he would say that sometimes. He learned things just by watching. That's highest intelligence. You don't even know what's going on. Absorption is going on. I saw that with Maharaj in the car many years ago. Radhanath Maharaj. He was very kind to me. I think it was 2001 or maybe 1997. When was that Ravel? What year did everyone go to Ravel? Anyone remember? During Kartik, Radharani's birthplace. This was back around 2000. 2,000 devotees at that time, Radhanath Maharaj was taking on Parikram. So it started at Ravel, where Radharani's birthplace. And I met Maharaj in Prabhupada's Samadhi, right after Mangal Arati. And he said, we're starting our Parikram today. He said, we're going to Ravel. He said, would you like to come? He said, and you can start. He said, tell Prabhupada pastime. So I agreed. And then we went in the car to Ravel, and the driver and Radhanath Swami was sitting beside him, and me and Yadubar were sitting in the back. And as we were driving, I started describing to Yadubar about how I became Prabhupada's servant and how I read to him in Los Angeles every day for a week before, months before I became his servant. I became very attached to it. But then when he came to New Vrindavan, I didn't see him at all for a week. I'd see him for a minute because I was cooking in the kitchen every day, all night I was cooking. So I had become so attached to his person. And now no morning walks, no reading, no anything, no classes. I was in the kitchen. So I was describing all of that to Yadubar. So then when we get to Ravel, and Maharaj introduced me, everything I said was sitting in the front seat. He starts repeating my story that I told the Yadubar, which I had no idea Maharaj was even listening to. This is being focused, you know. This is being conscious. So he went and told, of course, and he made it sound much more wonderful and exciting and told me cooking khichdi, because he was my assistant in New Vrindavan back in those days. When festivals were there, he would come and help roll chapatis, cut vegetables. So, but he had heard everything I said, and he just described it all to the devotees as he introduced me. And then I spoke for 5.5 hours. It was the longest class I ever gave. Yes, it's available. Anyway, all of this, everything we know is because Prabhupada's revealing Krishna to us through these books. He said, that's the purpose. We want to love Krishna. And then once you get there, in that garden that day, Prabhupada, he went through so much in a few minutes. He would take you. He started out, Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. We're proud to be Krishna's servants. He said, that's our pride. Don't think we're humble, humble, humble. There's also pride. We're Krishna's. Out of everyone, we belong to Krishna. That's our pride. He said, everyone is serving dogs, serving family, serving bosses. We're serving Krishna. He said, Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Then he looked at me. And he said, Krishna may be God, maybe not. We just love Krishna. So first he established him as Supreme Personality of God. And then he said, we don't care. We don't love him because he's God. We love him because he's lovable. That's what you have to see. That's what's there in Prabhupada's books. You see this most lovable person. That's what Prabhupada said. We don't care, he said. Maybe he's God, maybe not God. I'm sitting in front of him thinking, I just found out he was God. Now you're telling me maybe he's not God. And after so much struggle, he said, Krishna is God. And he goes, well, maybe he's not. We don't care. He's just wonderful, beautiful, mischievous. This is Krishna. So we love Krishna. And we want other people to love Krishna. My most amazing story of Prabhupada's books, because back in the day we would call them time bombs. You know what a time bomb is? You know, you set it. So we would say, because once you distribute a book, you don't know what happens to it. Sometimes they even go in trash cans. Then some people pick them up out of the trash can. People buy them in second-hand stores. They'll see a copy of the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Like they take these trips. They should do a movie on the book. All the things a book goes through. So I met some years ago a devotee in Brazil. Man, he had two children, wife and two children, all living in the temple. So he told me 10 years before, he got a book. Someone, you know, forced him to take a book. So he took a book. Books, people don't like to throw away books. And that's what the one gentleman told Prabhupada. Write books. No one ever throws away a book. I know my sister, back in 1973, I gave her a Bhagavad Gita. It still sits there on the bookshelf. I don't imagine she's ever opened it, but it's there. It's Krishna, just like you have here. Prabhupada said, Krishna, he said to me, Krishna is in every word in his books, every word. So you give somebody a book, you're literally giving Krishna. Just like giving a deity. That's why they're on the altar. They're the deities. Worshipable. But then when they open the book, and then it becomes, the Shastra becomes mother. So Krishna's father, Shastra's mother. Prabhupada says you can only know Krishna through your mother. So that's Vedic literature. So this person, he bought the book, he put it on the shelf. 10 years later, he decided he wanted to get a tattoo. And he was from Brazil. So if any of you know, any of you are football fans, Brazilians are very big football fans. Huh? Soccer, we say in America, football. So Brazil. So he knew David Beckham. He saw David Beckham. He had a tattoo on his back, Sanskrit. So he wanted a Sanskrit tattoo. And then he remembered, there's this book. I bought a book. It's on the shelf and it's got all that letter, funny letters in it. So he opened up the book 10 years later. And then he was looking for the proper saying he wanted to put on his back, whatever he was going to say, I hate everyone, everyone has funny sayings. But then he started reading the book. And then he became a devotee, brought his whole family living in the temple. They've been there for, over 10 years. That's the power of Srila Prabhupada. He would say to us in those days, because we like to preach, huh? Especially then when we came, it was incredible. Imagine, I was raised Catholic, I knew nothing. You're in the temple for 1 week and you're ready to go out and speak to people all day long, telling them whatever little bit you know about Krishna. And that's what we all did. We were just very happy. But Prabhupada said, distribute books. He says, what can you say in 2 minutes? He said, how are you going to change someone in 2 minutes? He said, but if you give them a book, just put in their hands, he said, you'll change their life. Because again, it's Krishna. Even they don't read. And you all know what he said about me in reading books. Do you all know the story? Should I tell it? Okay, we'll tell it. See, I think I went through 12 years of school. And outside of doing homework and things, I think I read one book in 12 years of school on my own. So I was not much of a book reader. That's the point. So now I'm Prabhupada's servant for over 2 years. And the first thing, so everything amazed me about Prabhupada, just seeing he was just a devotee 24 hours a day. But what really amazed me was seeing the first time I saw him sitting behind his desk reading his books, one of his books. Because I thought, why is he reading it? He wrote it. And Prabhupada said that. He said that on a plane one day. He was reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he looked at us. He said, who reads their own books after they've written them? He said, no one. He said, once you write a book, you don't ever want to see it again. Which is true. If you know writers, they don't want to, they look and it looks everything looks horrible. But Prabhupada said, I'm reading this book. He said, why? And then he would, of course, answer his own question because we never had answers. He said, because it's not my words. They're Krishna's words. And that's what I saw over and over again. Reading it, relishing it. Not just reading it to make sure everything, as an editor, as a proofreader. No, relishing Krishna. So one day, it's in the afternoon. His reading time was generally the afternoon. After his lunch and rest. And he'd get up and he would read. He would chant rounds. He would do bhajans. And it was like his personal bhajan time. So one day the bell rings. I go in, offer obeisances. And I sit up and he has his glasses on. Because he's reading. He's reading his Bhagavad Gita. And he looks at me. No one, just me in the room sitting right there. And he looks. He said, this book is so nice. You don't have to read hundreds of books. He said, if you just read this one book, he said, you can be Krishna conscious. He said, you don't have to read so many things. He said, just this book. He said, everything is here. He said, if you read this book, you're sincere. He said, you can be Krishna conscious. Then he put his head back down. Started reading. I offered obeisances and left. That's all. He was so excited. He just wanted to tell someone. So he rang the bell and he told me. And then he just started reading again. So I left the room. So at least 6 months, 8 months go by. Every day I'm doing my service. Prabhupada's doing his service. He's doing his translating work. Giving class every day, morning walk every day. And the bell rings. This is like almost a year later. It's the afternoon. And he's reading Nectar of Devotion. I see his glasses are on. And he looks up at me. He said, "This Nectar of Devotion is so wonderful." He said, "Everything is here." He said, "Just this one book." And he said, "You don't have to read hundreds of books." He said the same. He said, "You don't have to read so many books." He said, "Just this one book, if you read it, you can be Krishna conscious." Just kept encouraging me. Then he put his eyes back down. He didn't say, "Now you can go." Prabhupada didn't waste words. Sometimes he didn't say anything. He'd just look at you. He said to me in Vrindavan, he said, "First class servant, he knows what to do without being asked. Second class servant, you ask him and he does it. Third class servant, you ask him," he said, "and he doesn't do it, or he does it begrudgingly." Prabhupada used that word. Prabhupada had a wonderful vocabulary of English words. So he said he does it begrudgingly, which is a very nice word. Not a nice word as a servant, no. What Prabhu said was very true. In the material world, servant. Oh, no one wants to be a servant. It's funny, when I go to college towns and devotees introduce me to the students, they always say, "He was Prabhupada's PA, personal assistant." Or they say, "He was his secretary for 2 years. It was personal." And I go, "No, I was his servant." Because no one likes to hear that word. You know, you say that to college people, serve. Nobody wants to serve. We want to be served. So I always took great pleasure and say, "No, I was his servant." Such a wonderful, like he said, such a wonderful service. And essentially, everyone is pujari. You have to come to this. What did I say at the beginning? Everything is personal. That's what pujari means, personal service. But everything is personal. It's only our lack of consciousness that we think we're not directly serving our spiritual master, directly serving Srila Prabhupada and his ISKCON society. We're serving a person, personally. So we always have to be careful. Otherwise, Prabhupada could chastise you, put you in your place. But we all doing it already. And we say, if you're here, you have Prabhupada's mercy. You're already connected to Prabhupada. You're connected here in the temple through Maharaj, through Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan, on the altar in temples. I always boggles my mind in Vrindavan when Prabhupada, the grand opening of the Vrindavan temple, the first person you see on the altar is Prabhupada in his murti sitting there playing kartals. Krishna Balaram Mandir. Who could do that except someone of Prabhupada's nature? Who could do such a thing? And then go there, offer obeisances. Prabhupada could never understand Prabhupada, his vision. Buying that property in Juhu. It was a fishing village. It was nothing. But Prabhupada's vision was very broad. He saw, he could see what he did in Mayapur. Everything he purchased, you could see. He knew just what to do, just what the future would bring. We would think, they complained. Prabhupada, let's buy another property. It's too much trouble dealing with Mr. Nair, too much. There was no question. That's devotion. Prabhupada told Radharasa Bihari, "You please stay here in this terrible situation, and I'll build you a very beautiful temple." And they stayed there, and Prabhupada built them a very beautiful temple, a very successful, wonderful thing, but all Prabhupada's desire. And he desires much, much more. There's much more to come. This is just the beginning of what we see here. These are just the early days in within our society, working out so many difficulties, learning things, growing. But Prabhupada said it's going to go on 10,000 years at Lord Chaitanya's movement. And we can be part of it. And it's so easy. You just assist them in the preaching work. This time of year is very special. People are in. They're no here in India. In the West, everyone's in a very festive mood. Again, they think they're going to enjoy. You know, there's the whole holiday season, they call it, is this idea. We're going to be happy. I remember as a child, you know, when Christmas was a big thing, you know, you would have that Santa Claus coming, you didn't know what was going to happen. There'd be so much anticipation. And then there would always be disappointment because you never got what you wanted, you know, not enough. There was never enough. They do surveys, they find everyone, no matter how much money you have, everyone wants about 25% more, and they think that will help. But that always moves forward. Therefore, we stay close to Prabhupada. It's the one thing I see has kept me here 48 years, is just trying to stick close to Prabhupada. I have no assets, no anything, but I try to remain loyal to him. Don't go anywhere else. Everything is there. He kept telling me. So then 2 years go by. He rings the bell. I come in, offer obeisances. He's got his glasses on. And he's reading Krishna book. Krishna book. Very first book I touched. First book I read. First book I read to him. Only book I ever read to him. Krishna book. And he's reading it. And he looked at me. So happy. He said, "This book is so nice." He said, "If you just read this one book, you can be Krishna conscious." He said, "Everything is here in Krishna book." He said, "It's so wonderful." He said, "If you just read it," he said, "you can be Krishna conscious." But then he didn't put his head down. He kept looking at me. "You don't even have to read the whole book. Just one chapter," he pointed to the book. "Just one chapter." It's a Krishna book. He said, "Just one story. If you read one story in here," he said, "you could be Krishna conscious." And he kept looking. So I couldn't leave. So if he put his head down, that meant it's time to go. So you always had to read the signals with Prabhupada. So he's just staring at me. "You don't even have to read the whole chapter," he said. "Just one page." And he ran his hand down the page. He said, "Just one page." He said, "It's so nice. Just one page. If you read it, you can be Krishna conscious." And he kept looking at me. What could happen next? It was already a page. He's looking. "You don't even have to read the whole page. Just one line." And he ran his hand across the line. And I'm not saying a word. "You don't even have to read the whole line. Just one word." He poked his finger on a word. And said, "Because Krishna is in every word." This is what Prabhupada's given us. Huh? 10 years of his, well, more than 10 years, his translating work to give us so much Krishna, you can't even get outside of him. He's given us so much of Krishna. This is what he did. Just one word, he said. So therefore, even you just give someone a book, they just open up, look at it, they've already have success. They may not go back to Godhead this life, but it's a start. They've started on the path of Krishna consciousness. And we've helped them do it. That's Prabhupada's mercy. Huh? Gives us so much facility. Preaching. Prabhupada said, preaching is life. He would quote his spiritual master, huh? Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, he said, preaching is life. In one lecture, in Nectar of Devotion lecture, during Kartik, in Vrindavan, Prabhupada says in there, I didn't do anything until I was 70 years old. What's he saying? He's saying, until he started traveling, until he left India and did what his spiritual master asked him to do, he considers everything else, he didn't do anything. At that time, he started to fulfill. He spoke in that way at that time, at that very special place, Radha Damodar Temple. But that's the fact. I say, Prabhupada, he came, we become initiated, we take a vow, follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. But all the dealings with him was always outside of that. He didn't. We had a vow. He didn't ask you, did you chant your rounds nicely today? Were you attentive? No. This is our business. This is our vow. It was what the way to connect to Prabhupada, the way to get his association was to preach, was to help him in his mission, was to do something. Like when the Brahmachari said, Prabhupada, in Vrindavan, at that same time, Kartik, Paramahamsa said, Prabhupada said, what are you doing? He said, well, we're going to go to Vietnam after this. This was 1972. So Vietnam, the Americans were napalm. They were setting the whole island or whatever on fire with bombs and things. So Prabhupada was so excited. He said, oh, I'll give you sannyas because of preaching. If someone was ready to go out and take risk to preach, Prabhupada would give all facility. It's what he recognized. How many were at the Kartik Festival? How many were in the Goshala last month? Wow. Not very many. Who were the 6,000 devotees that were there? From everywhere else, huh? Well, there I told one. Yeah, we'll tell this one little story. So this was at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And Bhaktivedanta Manor, of course, very big place that George Harrison purchased for the devotees in 72. So Prabhupada went there in 73. The GBC there had been his secretary. You all know his GBC was his secretary for over a year. So the devotees in the temple were complaining about him, saying he wasn't chanting his rounds, he was mismanaging, wasn't coming to the program. So as soon as Prabhupada arrived at the manor, this temple president and the resident sannyasi came to me and said, we have to speak to Prabhupada. We have to speak to him, GBC. I said, all right. So they went into the room. We went into the room together. And the temple president, now imagine, he's at the time 22, 23 years old, like I was. And he was very passionate. And he started saying, Prabhupada, our GBC, everyone knows he doesn't chant. He's not chanting his rounds. Maybe even not following the principles. He's mismanaging money. And he's going on. And Prabhupada just said, don't criticize the senior devotees, Prabhupada said to him. So this devotee joined, the senior devotee, he joined 67, where the other one joined 1971. So now it's 1973. So Prabhupada he differentiated. He said, you shouldn't criticize senior devotees. And then he turned to the sannyasi. He said, you can tell him to leave. He stopped looking at him. He wouldn't look at him because he was criticizing one of his godbrothers. And his tone was not nice. He was very critical. So Prabhupada stopped looking at him and he said, you can tell him to leave. And he sent him out of the room. And then the sannyasi started speaking and saying, Prabhupada, it's true. You know, he's not chanting us around. Everybody knows. So and his attitude was different. He didn't sound like he was trying to kick him out of the temple, which is how the president sounded like. He's not a devotee. He's blooped, Maya. But the sannyasi was saying, Prabhupada, it's true. And Prabhupada looked, he said, Arjun didn't chant rounds. You know who Arjun is? There might be a picture somewhere here, Arjun. He said, Arjun was fighting a war. He said, he didn't have time to chant his rounds. He said, you should look at it that way. This is how we are supposed to deal with one another. There's a very old thing. I said there were so many statements we used to say in those early days. One of them I heard hundreds of times. If Brahmananda walks into a bar, you should think he's going in there to preach. You know. If you see him walk in a bar, you should think he went in there to preach to the drunks. This is how we have to see. This is how a devotee sees others. This is how a pure devotee sees others. In our state, it's very easy to see faults in others. But I saw that. Prabhupada didn't spend time with our faults, meditating on our faults, even discussing our faults. I said one of the very difficult thing. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do it. Well, maybe. But Prabhupada, even you did something very seriously wrong, Prabhupada would chastise you. You never heard about it again. Not in a month, not in a year, not in 10 years. Well, yeah, you did that before. That was, you know, you're just having change. Never. Everything came out in a positive way to encourage you. So he would set you straight, and then it was done. Never to be brought up again. And I've seen it in many different situations. You know, one was very... Let me finish this. So that's what Prabhupada said. That's how you should see it. Then, of course, he called in his disciple, and he spoke to him and encouraged him. He didn't kick him out, didn't ban him from the temple. He just encouraged him. Because we're all in the hospital. I said that this morning. You know, the whole material world, we say, is a prison house. And the temples are the hospitals. We're in the hospital, but we're in the prison house as well. So it's not our business to be judging the other people that are also here. Because we're here as well. We put ourselves in here. So Prabhupada's way was always to see the positive. What could be fanned? What can we fan to increase the devotion? So that was something I admired with Prabhupada. He didn't make you feel bad, didn't make you feel guilty. No. Just encouraged. Okay. What should we, Prabhu? What is our schedule? 2:30. Okay. Do we have any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Regarding book distribution, material world is divided into three gunas. That is sattva gun, rajo gun, and tamo gun. Mode of goodness, mode of ignorance, and mode of passion. And in Kali Yuga, most of the people are in a mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And very few people who are in Krishna consciousness, they are in the mode of goodness. So how can we preach people Krishna consciousness and give them books? Because most of the people are in their ichchas, vasanas, desires, and in that means they are busy people, like working people or like that, housewives. So how can we attract them to Krishna consciousness by giving books?
Wasn't Vaisheshika just here? You have to watch Vaisheshika videos. He's our big book distributor. Did everyone hear the question? Okay. I just saw Vaisheshika in Vrindavan, of course. And he was saying there's many different ways he approaches. One thing is, he said that it worked very well when he approached people, say, "You look very spiritual." So everyone likes a compliment. And that's one that you generally, that when I heard that, I thought, that's such a great line to start with. Because, yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I feel very spiritual. You have to change people. You say, it's a fact, people are in modes of passion and ignorance. And they're completely oblivious to everything. You know, that's what I see. A good book distributor, he shocks people. You make them stop somehow or other. And that's the process. It also, the more you do it, the more you learn, you know, the more training is there, you get, Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect. You know, we practice. We approach. You know, I remember in grade school, high school, we used to have to, once a year, in every class I was in, you would have to speak in front of the class for like 2 minutes. They say, many people consider speaking in front of a crowd worse than dying. It is. It's very difficult. Every day I get an anxiety when I know I'm going to speak. It never goes away. But I love it. Because it's sharing. When we share Prabhupada, we share Krishna. It's like it says, when the Maha Mantra is being chanted sincerely, Lord Chaitanya, he's there. We feel when we're discussing pastimes of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees, they're there. Otherwise, why do we feel? And that's all we want is to feel. It's the first thing when I said, when I was in school, when I left, I didn't care about knowing about God. I wanted to feel God. And that's our whole philosophy. It's the science of emotion of devotion. Everything we do, it's with emotion. It's the only thing that attracts Krishna, is the devotion. Otherwise, what does he care for our little flowers and fruits and veggies have little flavor anymore? And he doesn't need any of that. He wants to see the devotion. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to feel God. This is what Prabhupada has given us. This is what Krishna is giving us. You just have to take it. These books, sometimes you sit down, you can read. That's what Prabhupada would do. He would read. He would say, I can't believe it. I've written these things. And then he would say, I haven't written. But he would say that, I can't believe. He would read it himself and think, how is this there? This is amazing. Everything, that scene, everything's coming from Krishna. And the more we understand that, whatever ability, whatever we can do, it's by grace of Guru and Krishna. Then you can do amazing things. But as soon as you think, I'm very powerful, the other story Prabhupada would tell us all the time, again you become a mouse. You all know that story, huh? The little mouse, you know. The yogi turns him into a cat, turns him into a dog, turns him into the tiger. Oh, you want to eat me? Again, you become a mouse. Prabhupada would say, don't try to jump over your spiritual master. It means, no, your only potency is him, what he gives you. otherwise. Therefore, I say, no other, I have no assets, but I remain loyal to Prabhupada. And I see that because of that, he facilitates me. So, we have to become convinced ourselves. Like I say, you can't give something if you don't have it. So if we're not convinced, or as Prabhupada said, if you're not reading the books, how can you distribute books? It's that potency of understanding what you're giving, you know, and just wanting to do it. And then, of course, not being attached to the results is the other side, especially for book distribution, because you're always going to have the majority of people not take books, you know. So it's a question of numbers, and it's understanding whatever Krishna wants. This morning I gave class. One lady came up to me afterwards. She said, I hardly ever come. But somehow I came today, she said, and I'm so glad. She said, your class was so inspiring. This Krishna, you know. Krishna makes arrangements. When someone wants to make some progress, he makes arrangements. And then it's up to you to take that and do something with it. This is what we try to do. Otherwise, next week I'm going to Mauritius, South Africa, Nairobi for 2.5 months. It'll be my first trip there. I'm very excited. But I feel I have to do something. Prabhupada's given me so much. And if I don't give it away, I actually lose the taste. We always want the taste. That's the thing, the taste. Want the taste. Taste some nectar, taste some ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. If you want, then you got to come out of your comfort zone. It said, comfortable life and Krishna consciousness does not go together. Some people think that, I know. Some devotees for years, 30, 40 years, saying, why am I suffering? I'm a devotee. Why am I suffering? Well, we're suffering because we think we're the body. That's why we're suffering. See, that's it. You become a devotee, there is no more suffering. Prabhupada says, devotee is happy. And if you're not happy, then you're doing something wrong. This is the process. So we got to dedicate ourselves. We need to become serious. Do the needful. Prabhupada would say, do the needful. Krishna consciousness is common sense. Of course, then we say, but he said, if you don't have it, find someone that has common sense if you don't have it. So it is everything simple. Simple. Yes. Mataji, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
When we read the Bhagavad Gita or other texts, there's always mention to a bona fide spiritual master. It's a very direct question. Does it mean someone we directly know, or someone like Srila Prabhupada who we indirectly know? I mean, what is the context? I mean, specific when they write.
Prabhupada says many things in many different situations. One God brother quotes Prabhupada as saying, you know, what if somebody who reads your books doesn't take initiation? And Prabhupada said, they read my books, they're initiated. So he says like that. He also says one must take initiation, formal initiation. That's the whole point of giving up false ego, is take instructions from someone. Otherwise, we just do what we want. But, I'm sorry, say again the... Yeah, as far as bona fide,
personally know, and also sometimes.
Bona fide means as it is. And anyone does as it is. It's an exclusive club to those who just say what Krishna says. Like Prabhupada would say, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paritya Ja. So we don't say, we say surrender to Krishna. That's bona fide guru. It's a simple thing. But it's it's everyone's crooked in the material world. So to find that person, that's our good fortune. And that's good fortune. Yasya prasada bhagava prasada. And that's what I prayed. I prayed. I used to cry praying at night to God. I didn't know he had a name. I didn't know if he was even listening. I didn't know if he was there. But I was trying. And then just like that, like overnight, everything changed. But it was a long overnight. But then he sent bona fide spiritual master. Now we have Prabhupada's books. See, it's very important, whoever we're taking information from, you want to know that it's bona fide. That's why Prabhupada said everyone should read the books. You know, there's a point, case I was saying, I see it more and more, people second generation, they ask me about their service and stuff and what they should do. And I say, well, ask your guru, you know. But they're afraid because he might tell them something a little more difficult than they want to do. But this is the whole point, right? See, I'm easygoing. That's why they like to ask Sruta Kirti. He's known as very mellow. So I say, oh, yeah, everything's fine. But no, you ask your spiritual master what your situation is at this point. That's their... And hopefully you picked a very good spiritual master and he can give you all instructions. I've seen recently, someone, Maharaj, told them 15 years ago, told a Madhaji, just raise your children, love them, show them how to be a devotee. She followed that instruction. Her son, she's got two sons, both teenagers, one's 18, one a little younger. They're incredible. I mean, they just want to sit in the kirtan party. They're that nice devotees. Just by one instruction, one intelligent instruction. No agenda, don't want anything for myself, just trying to see how to help. That's the guru. He doesn't want anything. He wants to see you blossom as devotee. Then you have proper guru. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes. Yeah, we'll have to... Coming. Mike is coming. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I want to say that what are the symptoms? Symptom. Feel Krishna.
Symptoms of what?
Feeling Krishna.
Symptoms?
Feel.
Eating.
Feel.
Feeling. What are the symptoms? Have you ever loved someone in your life?
No.
No? I've had so many. You've never been in love with someone? Oh.
No, really.
I feel very...
Because...
Well then, that's very good. You should make Krishna...
I'm trying, like, you know, I'm...
No, it's practical.
I'm trying.
Okay. It's very practical. Prabhupada says if you love someone, you're always thinking about them. You want to do things for them. You want to cook for them. You want to take them places. You want to give them things. So it has symptoms. If just like if you love Krishna, the first time I told you, when I read Krishna book to Prabhupada, I had no idea of what was going on, like right in front of me. I was just reading words, reading a story. And right in the middle of the story, Prabhupada started laughing and laughing as soon as I described Krishna killing this demon, ripping his head off. I'm not sure what it was. And as soon as I said it, Prabhupada started laughing and laughing, and his whole body was shaking and he's slapping his knee and the tears are coming down. This was in his garden because I was reading. But he wasn't just listening to a story. He was... in the story, he was there. How? To what degree? But I could see. And then everybody started laughing because Prabhupada was laughing. The story, we were listening. Yeah, it's a nice story. You know, it's like superhero Krishna. He's killing. You know, it was a, but not for Prabhupada. because he loved Krishna. So he just went into ecstasy. So I saw, that's what I want. That's what I wanted. Feeling, emotion.
How?
Chant Hare Krishna.
I'm chanting.
You keep chanting. No, seriously, just keep chanting. The process works. But I saw that with Prabhupada. Just that total love for Krishna. So then the next day I thought, I'm going to read a story about a demon. Because Prabhupada went into total ecstasy. And I knew the story I was going to read. After that story, now imagine, first time I was with Prabhupada. I'm in the temple literally for 1 year. So I read that story and he laughed. So I thought, tomorrow I'm going to read the story about Dravid Gorilla. And when I say this line, he's going to do the exact same thing that happened today. Because it's so funny. And Prabhupada appreciates funny. I was convinced. There was no doubt. When I read this line, he's going to laugh and laugh and laugh. So the next day came. I had the bookmarker in my Krishna book. I sat down. And Prabhupada would chant, he'd talk. And he'll go. He didn't say anything. He would look at me because I'm holding the Krishna. I'm the designated Krishna book reader. Once you get a service, it's eternal. I had that service until I left L.A. If I would have never left L.A. and Prabhupada didn't leave Los Angeles, we would have every day I would just read Krishna book to him. That's how Krishna consciousness is. You take a service on, it should be the rest of your life. You should be ready to do that service. That's how we feel. So the next day came, I'm sitting there, and my heart's beating fast, and I'm nervous, and I can't wait. And Prabhupada goes, and I started reading. And I think it's the very first page. So I'm reading about this gigantic ape, black, demoniac ape. And I come up to the line. This line, you know the story of Dravid Gorilla. He's hiding behind the bushes and stuff, and he's watching the Brahmins. Brahmins. They're the same then as they are now, you know. Brahmins doing their pujas. So what's he do? He comes out from the bushes. He starts passing urine. So I thought that was hysterical. So did Prabhupada. He started laughing and slapping his knee. Just like he did the day before. Laughing and tears are coming down and everybody's in ecstasy. Because Prabhupada was in ecstasy. You want to be in ecstasy? You just have to stick with the process. We all did it. We were laughing. He just gave it to us. It just overflowed. We describe like Lord Chaitanya had a storehouse of love of Godhead. It just flows. It would flow from Prabhupada sometimes. You would get caught. And he laughed and laughed and laughed. I was so happy. I found home. This is where I wanted to be. I wanted God, but I wanted to be happy. I wanted laughing. I wanted all these things. So the next day, I forgot to look up my story. This was the third day. So I sit down, and Prabhupada's sitting, and he looks right at me and says, read. Because he knew what I was doing as well. He knew I was playing with him. And I was. And he said, read. So now I have to find a story about a demon, otherwise he's not going to laugh. You know, I knew that. If I don't read a story about a demon, there's not going to be laughing. Not with the gopis. He's not going to laugh about Rasa dance or something. You know? This is how I thought. So he said, read. So I start looking. He said, anywhere. Krishna's like a sweet ball. Wherever you bite, it's sweet. So that was another lesson. Always giving lessons. Letting you know what you do, what you don't do. That lesson came many, many times. Anywhere. Every time someone would get a book in front of Prabhupada, he would ask him, Where, Prabhupada? Anywhere. Why? We've already described Krishna's in every word. It doesn't matter. We say, Prabhupada, how can we distribute fifth cantos to karmis? How can they read? He said, it doesn't matter. We were fifth canto, tenth canto, this canto, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, any book, just distribute books profusely. Any one of his books, anywhere. This is how he would describe it. Krishna's there, everywhere, in every word. So whether you look at it, you touch it, you read it, it's all helping. It's all transcendental. Prabhupada's potency is there. Okay, one more question. Let's see. Okay. Yes, he has a microphone.
Hello.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. As we can see, most of the avatars come from Lord Vishnu. And in Christianity also people say that Lord Jesus is the son of a God. So can we do they give the same blessings? Can we pray to both?
You can pray. Yes, well, that's our whole thing. Krishna Bhagavan. Krishna, go to Krishna. Otherwise there's so many demigods we can pray to for prosperity. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, whatever you want, you surrender. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam saranam bhaja. Nowhere else. Otherwise, it's just sideline. Prabhupada said that good Christians, they go to Christ Loka. He said Jesus has a planet and he teaches Christians Krishna consciousness there. My mother was... I always tell, my mother died on Jamashtami morning, just after midnight, 5 years ago. I was in Ukraine at a fest, Jamashtami time, so I had traveled to the Ukraine for festivals, even though I know she was going to be dying soon. My sister told me, don't worry about it. Anyway, it was Jamashtami day, and I had just flown 25 hours from here there to get to Ukraine. So I was resting. It was noontime there. And I had a dream or a vision. And I saw my mother. And she had a chaperone, male chaperone on either side. And she was just zooming past me. Just zooming past. And she had a big smile on her face. And then I woke up. Then I thought, she's dead. So then I got on the computer and there was an email from my sister saying mom died 5 minutes after midnight this morning. So that was Jamashtami. It didn't mean anything to my sister, but to me it meant a lot. And then I remembered Prabhupada said that your parents, they will appreciate you at the time of death. That's when everything happens. That's the moment, that time of death. And that's what I saw. I literally saw her just zooming by with a big smile. So I felt very happy. Prabhupada spoke about her once. We all know that. That was in Vrindavan. Well, I'll tell them, we'll end it here. I was massaging Prabhupada like this. And Prabhupada was sideways. I was used to rub his belly. I thought something might make wishes. Nah. And rub his arm, pull his fingers. So much fun. Prabhupada giving Prabhupada cracking, you know. You have to crackle like that. So I was massaging him. And I was like that. And I could see him staring at my foot. Staring at it while I'm massaging him. So I fixed it. And he looked at me. He said, "Is your mother, is she beautiful?" Imagine. My mother at the time was 50. And I was 23. So I thought, and I said, "Well, yes, Prabhupada, she was very beautiful." And he said, oh, he said, because I'm looking at your foot, which I knew. And he said, your feet are very pretty. And he said, they say that if your feet are pretty, it means your mother is beautiful. So I was wanting to see if it was true. So this was Prabhupada. Who could imagine sitting there, imagine as a disciple sitting there watching him looking at your feet and then talking about them. So my mother was she read that in the book, my book, What is the Difficulty? And when she read, I came home, she said, yes, I read it. She said, that day, that was my birthday. So she was complaining to me that, you know, I didn't call her up on my birthday, but, you know, my guru was talking about my feet. Anyway, so I was very happy that Prabhupada acknowledged also my mother. That was nice of him. All right, so our future is very bright. This was my mother. I could see she was making progress. And she was a very chaste. My father died when she was 30. So she died at 90. She never had a relationship with another man. Refused to. When I see myself, and I think, what an amazing thing that she did. She was a very chaste woman. Even managed to tell me about my father, who I never knew at all. So this is our business. This is what we do. We chant Hare Krishna, take care of, do the needful. Here, most everybody, grahasta. You raise your children as nice devotees. Earnings they'll figure out on their own. It's already there in their karma. Prabhupada says, you can't change what you get in this life. You can't change the money. You can decide how to make it. You can do this way, this way, this way. But no matter what, certain thing will come in. The one thing we can do, we can get out of this situation. Not worry about making money here in the material world. We can go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada's process is very simple. You chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, and try to assist such big, big society. There's so many things to do. Everyone has the opportunity. Hare Krishna. So I'm here overnight and then off to Mira Road around 6 in the morning. Well, thank you all very much. I hope to see you again. We'll be back. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.